Airports are told to go ahead with a plan to break up congested schedules. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome into the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading us today. There was an interesting press release that crossed our desk. On Tuesday, a federal court in Washington upheld the right of airports to protect passengers from inconvenient flight delays. That's the way it was termed by the Airport Council International North America. What they're really saying is there was some support given to airlines in charging congestion pricing. In other words, tiered landing fees to make the airlines spread out their flights a little more and not have them all clumped around a couple of big times during the day. When I saw this, I thought right away, I know a guy who will have an opinion on this. And my guest today is Bob Poole, who is the founder and director of transportation studies for the Reason Foundation, which is a free market think tank. Bob, thanks for taking some time out for our listeners. I know it's a busy time today.
Always glad to be on your program, Paul.
All right. Well, let's dive right into this thing then. And you say this was on your radar anyway. Tell us about the background behind this decision.
Sure. In 2007, when Mary Peters was Secretary of Transportation, the DOT got very concerned about congestion at the New York airports, particularly the New York airports, because that 50% of all congestion in the United States is related to New York flights, either going to or from the New York airport. So it's a huge part of the overall congestion problem. And being a fairly market-oriented administration, Mary Peters, DOT, said, hey, there ought to be some kind of a market-based solution. The government shouldn't be telling who can fly, who can schedule when at busy hours of the day. Let's use some kind of a market mechanism, a pricing approach, to let the airlines sort it out themselves. The ones that are willing to, that most want to operate at the busiest times, will pay a higher price, either by having to rent a slot or paying a higher landing fee. And they did a whole big proceeding. They convened a group with the airlines and other people in the airports and discussed this for 3 months, and the airlines were absolutely opposed to it. But in the end, the DOT came out with two proposals. One, they proposed auctioning off a small portion of the slots to try to start the ball rolling on that. They also put out a change to the federal rates and charges policy that is one of DOT's prerogatives under the law to provide the guidance for how airports can charge for use of the airport. And they said from now on in the airport rates and charges thing, instead of only charging based on the weight of the planes, as has always been traditional, airports could also charge based on demand. So they could charge a higher price at busy time and a lower price at other times. And both of those initiatives were challenged in court by the Air Transport Association on behalf of the airlines. The Obama administration withdrew the slot auction proposal before the courts had a chance to rule. But the airport, the landing charges thing wound its way on in the court. And just a few days ago, as we're talking today, the circuit court in D.C. ruled that it was perfectly legitimate for airports to have the ability to charge based on demand.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a couple of questions about this whole thing, but I want to back up and say and ask you, because you might know, I certainly do not, why would every airline want to leave the airport between 7 o'clock and 8:15 in the morning? Because, well, you know, as a passenger, when I'm trying to book a flight, if I'm flying out at 7 or 8 in the morning, I've written off the morning anyway for getting anything done at the other end.
Right.
So I would love to fly at 9 o'clock or.
This is one of those things where it's like a prisoner's dilemma. Everywhere, you know, the most popular time is, you know, early in the day. So if you're going from New York to Chicago, they can, you know, theoretically get to Chicago in time to do most of a full day's worth of business. So they all want to, you know, take off at 7 or 7:30 in the morning. But the problem is if one airline says, oh no, we'll back off of that, they risk having a lower load factor by waiting till 9. And so they all do the same foolish thing, which hurts them all. But, you know, they fear, being the odd man out if they're the one that deviates. And so there's just no good solution in the airline's individual action. It requires something external, and that is either going to be some kind of administrative regulation imposed by the government to say you can fly and you can't at that time, or a pricing system that says, all right, you guys sort it out among yourselves, and the ones that really value it most will be the ones that will get those times, and the ones who value it somewhat less – will pay less by waiting an hour. And that gives a real dollars and cents. And airlines can look at, how much profit do they make on a particular flight. And when you factor in an extra $10 or $20 per passenger because of the higher landing charge or takeoff charge, that changes the calculation on that particular flight. And there's been a decade of good research by very sophisticated, very knowledgeable aviation analysts that shows that these things really will work. Nobody's yet had the courage to really do it.
All right, more questions on congestion pricing when we return with Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation. I'm Paul Plack. You're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
Diamond's DA-42 Twin Star is General Aviation's ultimate flying machine. Fly fast with the confidence of a twin for the cost of a single. Go direct over water or rugged terrain and cover great distances in the first and only piston aircraft with an advanced airframe, avionics, and engines. The DA-42 gives you options you've never had before, including the Garmin G1000 and known ice protection. Go where you want, when you want, fast and for less. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Welcome back to the Aero News Special Feature. Paul Plack here with Bob Poole of the Reason Foundation, talking about congestion pricing at airports and a decision that came down on July 13th from a federal court upholding the right of airports to charge more for landing fees during times of congestion. Bob, I think there's a lot of good news in here. I mean, among other things, most consumers, if they are, have a bad airline experience, remember the airport more than the airline. This, however, if I recall correctly, was not your favorite solution to this problem.
No, actually, of the two solutions, which are slot options and pricing, I've spent a lot of time analyzing this. I've concluded that pricing is really the better solution. For one important reason is that it's a more general aviation friendly solution. If you end up with a slot auction system, that works to some extent for scheduled airlines. They buy a slot that is good every day at 8:15 in the morning. That doesn't fit a business jet or any other kind of general aviation because these are flights that are not scheduled, that only occur once in a while. But, when you really need to get to Manhattan for a meeting in your Learjet, you want to get in there and get in at the time you need to be there. And the amount that it would cost you to pay a premium price is trivial in comparison to the total cost of, your direct operating cost, let alone your fully allocated cost of owning and operating the plane. So it's much more friendly to private planes to have a pricing system, a landing price system, rather than having to purchase a slot auction. Because you're not going to use the slot most of the time.
Now, that's an interesting perspective, and we have a lot of GA listeners, so I want to kind of dive into that a little deeper. Mm-hmm. You're saying that the amount of money we're talking about in a landing fee would be something that would make sense even for a business aircraft. That sounds like it would be really trivial compared to an airliner.
Well, you're talking about a price that would be the same for whoever uses a particular time to land. And if you're at the busiest time, the calculations that we did at Reason Foundation, we did a big report that came out at the end of 2007 on the New York airports, came up with a pricing proposal. And during the busiest hours, it was typically about a couple thousand dollars to land or take off from any of the three New York airports. And assuming you needed to land right at that time, that's not a trivial amount, and that's enough for an airline operating, say, a regional jet, a 30-passenger or 50-passenger regional jet, that's enough per passenger to make a significant difference in the profitability of the flight. Mm-hmm. A business jet, you're talking about the overall cost of the trip. It's not trivial, but if it means you really can get in where you need to get, let's say landing at LaGuardia and taking a quick cab ride or limo ride into Manhattan, it's not going to be, even a couple thousand dollars is not going to be that. If you can already afford a Learjet or a Gulfstream, that's not going to make you prevent you from making the trip. And in fact, it's going to make it easier for you to make sure you get in there at the right time.
All right. Here's a question I have to ask. I don't know if you'll know the answer to this either, but this reminds me of all the NBA teams outbidding each other for talent and then complaining that they're going broke. The airlines, you know, the airlines at one point, I don't, you know, there might have been one or two profitable airlines in the United States, and yet they're all saying that they can't, you know, they can't charge enough. And I guess my question always was, well, if all of you charged enough, it wouldn't be a problem, right?
That's exactly right.
Why would they rather? It would seem at times they argue that they want things rolled back to the 70s in some senses and having some regulation to set price floors. But then when something like this comes along that would be the same for everyone, they resist.
I know, and I don't understand why they resisted. I've had long, long arguments with, you know, I've sat in the boardroom at ATA and argued with many, with the senior staff, and even sometimes with CEOs. And we just have not been able to make a breakthrough to get them to understand why this would work. I mean, part of it is a competitive thing, that with the current system, the ins have an advantage over the outs. In other words, if you're, let's say, Delta or American or JetBlue at one of the New York airports, you've got a pretty significant position. It's not like a fortress hub at Atlanta with Delta, but Delta is building a very strong hub at JFK. They would like to do one at LaGuardia. And if you had a pure pricing system, they figured that maybe Southwest might be willing to pay more for a whole bunch of space at LaGuardia. And that would be a real competitive threat. Southwest only has a toehold at LaGuardia right now. Delta would much prefer them not to be there at all. And under a pricing system, though, it would be first come, you know, whoever is willing to pay more would get more. And Southwest being more profitable than most of the airlines would, you know, they fear, be willing to pay more. And that's certainly possible.
Well, I guess it all comes down to wanting an unfair advantage over your competitors.
There's a lot of that, Paul, seriously. I mean, I know this from many, many years of firsthand discussions with senior airline people.
Well, prediction. How do you think this is going to go? Will we see it start in New York sometime soon?
I don't think it'll start in New York because the Port Authority, which owns the three major airports, at least as of 2007, 2008, was adamantly opposed to this. And I could not figure out why, because years ago they were verbally in favor of it. I think it'll probably start somewhere else that has a serious congestion problem, like maybe Chicago O'Hare or maybe SFO. Where they have a big problem because of fog and weather caused delays. And so you could use a pricing system to when they have to cut back on how many landings per hour. You know, the ones that were willing to pay a premium price could be guaranteed the first cut access to the limited capacity. So I think it'd be more likely those airports. And I think once we see one airport actually do this and the sky doesn't fall and things work better, we'll see others that have serious congestion problems adopt it also. I mean, this is the same thing we've seen with the so-called hot lanes on congested freeways. They're now in about a dozen metro areas, but getting the first one or two ever to operate was really tough because so many people just believed it wouldn't work. And once the first couple were in operation, people say, wow, they really work well. And they don't have all the kind of bad things that people were afraid of. This then became a movement. It's happening all across the country now. And I think the same thing is likely to happen with airport pricing, but only at the airports that have serious congestion problems.
All right. Well, Bob, it's going to be fascinating to watch. It's great to get your perspective. Give our listeners, it's been a while since we've had you on. Give our listeners your 30-second plug for the Reason Foundation and the website.
Sure. Reason Foundation is a free market-oriented think tank that covers a number of areas of which transportation, including aviation, is one of our most important. The website is www.reason.org, and you can find there all of our many different policy studies on transportation and other subjects.
And a chance to sign up for Bob's monthly newsletters on air traffic management and also on airports.
Absolutely, which are no charge.
All right. Well, Bob, listen, thanks very much for taking some time out. We appreciate your insight. We'll talk to you again soon.
Glad to do it. Thanks, Paul.
Bob Poole is the founder and director of transportation studies for the Reason Foundation. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.